Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power, het programma waar zoveel mensen van harte naar uitkijken. En we zijn blij dat we elke week de uitzendingen kunnen verzorgen. Nou, wat gaat er gebeuren in de Christelijke Kathedraal deze zondag? Ik denk dat het een hele fijne dienst gaat worden, want muzikaal gezien is er een hoogtepunt. Want James Ingram, de bekende muzikus die zo indrukwekkend zong op de inauguratie van Barack Obama, zingt in de Christelijke Kathedraal. En wat hij zingt is eigenlijk zijn geloof. Blessed Assurance, volle verzekering, Jezus is mijn. En als je dat kunt zingen, dan kun je denk ik de dingen van het leven aan. Want we hebben een heel bijzondere gast in de Christelijke Kathedraal. Een jongen van 12 jaar, die door een hersenbeschadiging ver achter is op zijn leeftijd. Maar op een geweldige manier muziek maakt. Hij speelt een stuk van Brahms, dat is bijna niet te geloven, zo mooi. Veel jonge mensen kijken naar Hour of Power, hele gezinnen en de jongeren kijken ook van harte mee. En een van die jongeren is straks bij mij te gast, dat is Joël van Run. Hij schreef een werkstuk over de Christelijke Kathedraal en over Hour of Power. Dat kregen wij in handen en hij kreeg er een 10 voor van zijn leraar. Nou, daar zijn wij natuurlijk met hem ook apen trots op. En hij komt erover vertellen wat hij vindt van Hour of Power. En tenslotte, Miroslav Wolf spreekt in de Christelijke Kathedraal. Een indrukwekkend thema. Zie, ik maak alle dingen nieuw. Een Bijbelse belofte. En de vraag is, en misschien kun je er vast over nadenken, als je wat hebt tegen een ander en het zit je dwars en je kunt niet vergeven. Jezus Christus, zegt hij straks, heeft ons vergeven. En daarom kun je ook anderen vergeven.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Legend tells us that when the beloved apostle John was 90 years old, he would visit one church after another, always to deliver the same sermon in 3 words. Love one another. And he would leave. And there's been so much of that in the history of this church, which is why God has found it able to bless us with his presence. And we feel a presence. It is not suspicion or jealousy or hate or anger. It is love one another. Turn to somebody on either side of you, shake their hand and repeat the line to them. Love one another. So you have come to a place of hope, peace, love, followers of Jesus Christ, choosing to be positive, not negative. We are a place where Jesus likes us, and it shows. Wow, let's pray. Thank you, God, for putting this whole thing together the past 54 years. People who didn't believe and had good reason to doubt, but they came and they experienced the presence of a peace, a forgiveness, and encouragement, and hope, and love. And here we love one another, and so it is your spirit that we feel. Thank you, Lord. Amen. may be seated. From the scriptures this morning, hear these words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to children's children. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus, you.
Wow. All God's people said, wow. Thank you, choir. My guests today are Kathleen Lewis. I never met her till a few minutes ago, but was a part of inviting her because she has a great story to tell. You may or may not have noticed this church is different than many churches in that we focus on witnessing, where some churches focus on preaching. We don't try to preach sermons from up here to down there. We do try to bring people who can come here and tell us what God has done in their life. And we tell them, don't preach us a sermon. Just tell us the true story of how you have been blessed and saved. And that's the great story about Kathleen Lewis and her beautiful son, Rex. Their story has been featured on the CBS famous program, 60 Minutes. Rex was born with a large cyst on his brain, which led to blindness and crippling autism. Despite being born with these great challenges, Rex is a musical savant. He has perfect pitch. He is capable of hearing any song and playing it back immediately by ear. Kathleen is here to share her story of entrusting Rex to God and finding her faith in the process. Welcome with me that great, great mother, Kathleen Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Shore.
You radiate. Tell us a story.
When Rex was born, well, I was expecting a child, and I had a lot of dreams for him, like we all do when we give birth. But when Rex was born, it was more like a death to me.
At the birthday?
Not right at the birthday, when I began learning what was going on with him more and more. On the birthday, I fell in love with my child, absolutely forever in love with this little baby. It was a feeling stronger than any I'd ever felt before. But I did know that he had a cyst in his brain that had to be operated on. And after it was operated on, we thought that that was it, that we'd go on with our lives and our dreams for this beautiful child. But there were complications. We then learned that he was blind. And that was shattering. That was felt like death. And I was heartbroken for my baby. But blindness, Dr. Shuler, was just the beginning, because it soon became apparent that he wasn't developing in other ways. So the cyst apparently had affected the brain as well, and he wasn't learning to walk. He didn't learn to walk or talk, and he began to become very sensitive. Like his whole body was a raw nerve ending, and his hands, he'd ball them up in fists so he wouldn't have to touch anything because they were too sensitive. And his ears, it was like he'd hear just the slightest sound and it would overwhelm him, and his brain was completely dysfunctional. I was heartbroken for him, and that I'd brought him into this world and he was having such a hard time of it.
Did you have guilt?
Overwhelming guilt.
Did you really?
Guilt I thought I'd never get past. It was eating away at me that I blamed myself, that this was my fault. How could I bring, as a mother, a child into the world in that state? And I was so scared.
Were you a Christian at the time?
No, I wasn't. Through that experience with Rex, that is what brought me to my knees, brought me to know Christ, living life with my son. I was like I was walking on eggshells all the time and just overwhelmed. And also my marriage broke up in the midst of all that. So
Which often happens, yes.
Often does, and I found myself utterly alone, scared, before that, I thought I could solve my own problems. I couldn't solve that. And I began searching. God stepped in, stepped into our lives, my life, drew me to Him. And He two miracles. As I began going to church in desperation, really, to plead for my son, there were two immediate miracles. One was a little keyboard for Rex that showed up in our house as a gift for his second birthday, right after I began going to church. And that was a gift of grace from God. When Rex laid his fingers on those keys for the first time, I think he knew it himself that this was directly from God, because there was something in those keys that drew him out of his sensitivities. The one thing that wasn't overwhelming to him was music, classical music.
Interesting.
And there was a look on his face that was at peace when he'd hear Mozart. And it was because of that that we got him this little keyboard. And he'd begin to play little melodies, and I wanted to hear his voice. He still wasn't walking or talking. Specialists thought he'd never walk or talk. But he began playing his keyboard every day and finding life, creativity, working out sounds. And one day, I played Beethoven's Ode to Joy in our living room for him. And he sat down at his keyboard and he played it back, Dr. Schuller, at 3 years old. And I wanted to hear him say, "Mama." But I knew then that music, he would get his voice if I'd be patient. That was God's miracle growing faith in me. And that's why I wrote the book I wrote about Rex, to talk about that faith, because God has given me a powerful story in Rex, I think, to tell.
Beautiful picture of Rex on the cover. And we'll have a chance to meet him briefly. He's going to play for us. Can we meet him and say hello to him before he plays?
Absolutely.
Rex, I'm Robert Schuller, one of the ministers here.
Hi, Dr. Schuller.
And how did you come to play the piano? Do you believe in God?
Yes.
And in Jesus?
Yeah. Yes, I do love Jesus, Dr. Schuller, and He loves me too.
You're going to play a song for us today?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm going to play my Brahms Waltz medley. It's three Brahms waltzes I picked out from Opus 30. And I love it because part of it's powerful. And part of it's soft and sweet. So it's fun, Dr. Schuller.
All right.
While he makes his way to the piano, his book, Rex, it's all about him, written by his mother. It's available at thehourofpower.org.
Thank you.
is niet te geloven. Wat indrukwekkend. Rex. Rex Lewis, 12 jaar jong, hersenbeschadiging. En daar kun je als mens vaak niet doorheen kijken. En wat een ongelooflijk talent. Wat heeft hij prachtig Brahms gespeeld. Als je over jonge mensen hebt, dan word ik best een beetje blij. Want heel veel jonge mensen kijken naar Hour of Power. Hele gezinnen met kinderen volgen elke zondag trouw Hour of Power. En daar zijn we natuurlijk heel erg blij mee. En vandaag heb ik een van die jongeren te gast. En het is Joël van Run. Joël, goeiemorgen. Nou zeg, spannend om hier te zitten, hè?
Ja.
Ja, had je nooit gedacht, hè?
Nee.
Nooit gedacht. Nee. Want wat heb je gedaan? Je hebt een werkstuk geschreven over de Crystal Cathedral. Want je zit op Lyceum, hè?
Ja, Lyceum Oudehoven.
Ja, Lyceum Oudehoven. En dat heb je aan ons toegestuurd. Want je was heel trots. Je kreeg voor dat werkstuk een...
10.
Een 10 met een... En de leraar heeft erbij gezet. Ik vond het ontzettend leuk om te bekijken. En jammer dat er geen hoger cijfer is dan een 10, anders zou je nog meer gehad. Ga zo door. Nou, ik heb het gelezen. Vond erg leuk. Wat boeit jou zo in Hour of Power?
Ja, gewoon de preken ook gewoon zo, zeg maar, van Dr. Schuller.
Ja?
Zeg maar, de normale dominees, die leggen het heel moeilijk uit. Alleen vind ik van Dr. Schuller, die leggen het zo ontzettend mooi uit. Ja, dat kan ik gewoon begrijpen, die verhalen ervan.
En het leuke is, je bent ook in de Crystal Cathedral geweest, samen met je vader en moeder, opa en oma. Vertel eens, hoe vond je dat om daar die kerk binnen te lopen?
Ja, gewoon ontzettend mooi. Heel erg groot, met zo'n heel groot orgel. Ja. Echt fantastisch. En die mooie preek, echt.
Ja.
En die tuinen, fantastisch.
Ja, hè?
Die mooie beelden en gewoon helemaal vredig.
Ja. Ik heb je scriptie gelezen en één opmerking naast alle aardige opmerkingen vond ik een hele goeie van je. Heel veel mensen hebben vooroordelen over Hour of Power, schrijf jij in je scriptie. Ze vinden het te commercieel en te groot opgezet allemaal, maar ik vind dat niet terecht. Er zijn heel veel mensen die niet in God geloofden en of naar de kerk gingen, maar wel hierdoor zijn gaan geloven.
Ja, dat klopt echt, want mijn oude leraar zei ook dat het heel erg commercieel was. Maar ik vind het gewoon totaal niet zo. Want er zijn mensen die kunnen bijvoorbeeld niet naar de kerk toe. Of die geloven niet. En als ze dan bijvoorbeeld naar Hour of Power kijken, dan kunnen ze zien hoe ontzettend mooi het is. En daardoor gaan de mensen ook geloven.
Ja.
Dus daarom vind ik het echt een hele goede dienst wat ze zeg maar doen. Ja.
Dominee Schuller zegt altijd, en dat vind ik het mooie van hem, dat je van God talent hebt gekregen, dat je daarmee moet woekeren. Met andere woorden, je moet alles uit je leven halen wat erin zit met je talenten. En ik ken hem, je hebt hem ook ontmoet, ik ken hem al meer dan 25 jaar. En de eerste keer dat ik hem ontmoette, weet ik precies dat hij aan mij vroeg, Jan, what is your dream? Wat is je droom? Nou, ik stel die vraag aan jou.
Nou, mijn droom is om bioloog te worden.
Zo?
Ja, en omdat ik gewoon ontzettend mooi vind over hoe de mensen in elkaar zitten. En ja, gewoon hoe dat biologie en ook hoe je dingen kan studeren. Dat vind ik gewoon ontzettend interessant hoe planten en dieren en mensen in elkaar zitten. Dat is gewoon zo mooi. En het kan niet zomaar door één knal bijvoorbeeld gekomen zijn. Dat moet gewoon iets magisch, moet dat gewoon gemaakt hebben.
En wie is dat?
Ja, voor mij is dat natuurlijk God. Alleen, ja, er zijn er ook bij die zeggen, ja, magisch bestaat helemaal niet. En kan zomaar niet bestaan, iemand die uit de hemel dingen maakt en zo. Dat kan niet. Maar ja, hoe kan die knal dan door zo'n knal al dit moois, alles?
Nee. Het kan niet. Kan er zo'n mooi bloemetje uit voortkomen, hè?
Ja.
Het is echt niet plastic, hoor. Het is echt, kijk maar. Zie je wel?
Ja.
Neem me maar mee. Pak hem maar vast in je biologieboek.
Okay, is goed.
Als je over de hele tijd nog eens tegenkomt, dan zeg je, oh ja, van, ik kreeg zo'n bloemetje van hem.
Ja.
Jullie kijken elke zondagmorgen met het hele gezin naar Hour of Power. Maar er is iets bijzonders, want je vader heeft een handicap, hè?
Nou, mijn vader is, toen ik net geboren was, toen kreeg hij multiple sclerose. En dermate is steeds erger geworden. En toen kreeg hij een terugslag. Kreeg hij een beroerte. En toen is het steeds maar slechter gegaan.
En hoe is dat om een vader te hebben die gehandicapt is?
Dat maakt mij niet zoveel uit. Ik ben er gewoon helemaal ingegroeid. En het is voor mij gewoon zo.
Je houdt van hem, hoe dan ook.
Ja.
En van je moeder ook. Nou,
ja.
Je vader zit hier. Hè? Wat mooi als je zoon dat zegt. Hé, Joël. Ja, ik kan uren met je doorpraten. Maar wat ik heel leuk vind, je bent ook acteur, hè? Nou ja.
Acteur. Ik heb in Oorlogswinter heb ik figurantenrol meegedaan.
Zo, en wat heb je gespeeld in die mooie film De Oorlogswinter?
Ja, we moesten naar executie moesten we lopen. En toen en nog ook dat we. En mijn moeder heeft dat we daar bij de executie, dat we daar waren, heeft zij aan meegedaan. Ook. En ik vond het gewoon een ontzettend mooie ervaring om dat mee te maken.
Ja, maar je hoefde niks te zeggen?
Nee, ik hoefde niks te zeggen.
Het was een bijrol.
Ja, en ik vind het nu ook mooi om hier in de studio te zijn.
Ja, hier speel je de hoofdrol, hè?
Ja. Ja.
Studio? Is mijn huis? Je bent wel een lachenbek, hè?
Ik dacht eraan toen ik het zei.
Ja. Hey, ik vond het ongelooflijk leuk om je te gast te mogen hebben. Fijn dat je naar Out of Power kijkt. En nogmaals, goed wat je zei, wat Out of Power betekent. En ik merk het zelf ook. Ik kom heel veel mensen, ook jongeren tegen, die er heel blij mee zijn. En het belangrijkste is natuurlijk dat ze God kennen. Want dat is ook voor jou het belangrijkste in je leven. Ja. Wat zou je tot al die jongeren willen zeggen die kijken naar Out of Power? Kijk naar de camera, net als de koningin.
Gewoon blijven geloven, ook al zeggen anderen dat het niet zo is. En gewoon God bestaat.
Hé, zo. Nou, hartstikke goed. Ik geef je graag dit boek. Er staan 50 verhalen in van allerlei mensen die ik heb mogen interviewen. In al die 10 jaar dat ik Out of Power mag presenteren. Ongelooflijk leuk. En ik ga even naar pagina 102. Dr. Hoek van Koten, herinner je nog?
Ja, ze vertelde allerlei dingen over het menselijk lichaam die zeg maar hetzelfde betekenen ook in de Bijbel en over God.
En hoeveel rode bloedcellen hebben wij?
2 miljoen.
Dat is niet waar, zeg. Ja. En hoeveel seconden maken die ons lichaam schoon?
Nou, binnen 1 seconde maken die ons lichaam schoon.
Echt niet te geloven. Wij hebben dit interview van tevoren niet doorgesproken. Het is helemaal spontaan, dus helemaal goed. Voor mij krijg je ook een 10. Hè? Alsjeblieft, hier is dit boek.
Bedankt.
En ik heb er nog een boekje voor je, 1 minuut voor God. Overigens, dit boek geven we aan iedereen die nieuw donateur wordt bij Hour of Power. Dus, nou, dat zijn jullie al. Hier is het boek 1 minuut voor God. Ik vond het ongelooflijk leuk dat je er was.
Ik ook.
Misschien ga je het later wel presenteren. Hè? Oké. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. En heb je wel eens van James Ingram gehoord?
Nee.
Oh, nou dan nu. Dan gaan we samen naar kijken. James Ingram, beroemde muzikus. Blessed Assurance. Volle verzekering.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. My Savior the mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
James Ingram.
My guest preacher today is somebody here because you asked for him. He was a guest on a Sunday morning, and you were so moved that for the first time, I had many, many people say, can't we get him back to preach a sermon? He's Miroslav Volf. He is professor of systematic theology at Yale University, where he's the founder and director of the Yale Center for Faith and Culture. He is a native of Croatia, where he was intensely persecuted for his faith during the devastating violence in Serbia and Croatia in the 1990s. Today he's here to share a very special message with us. His title is, Behold, I Make All Things New. Here we are. Great messages on the way from Miroslav Volf.
Thank you, Bob.
So honored to have you.
What a delight for me it is to be here. I want to thank Dr. Schuller in particular, by whose ministry I have been very much encouraged and blessed. It's wonderful to be in this beautiful sanctuary, one of the kind in the world. Behold, I make all things new. Now, if you're like me, you like new things. You like new clothes. You like new cars. I love a new car. Shiny on the outside, you open the door, and it smells like a new car, nothing like it. You like all sorts of new things, and people throughout the ages, everywhere, have loved new things. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, what is it that we long for when we long for new things? What is it that we long for that will not disappoint us? Let me tell you a little bit of my story, and I'll weave the answer to that question into that story. I'll tell you in advance, what we long for is new identity, new self. What we long for in the possibility of new future. What we long for, and now you might be surprised, what we long for is a new past. New identity. Now, if you met me somewhere on the street, and you kind of try to figure out who I am, what you would do is you would, one way or another, ask me to tell you my story. I would tell you that I was born in the communist Yugoslavia in the 50s, that I was son of a Pentecostal minister, that when I was growing up in school, it was a terrible thing to be a son of a Pentecostal minister, because nobody wanted to be son of any kind of minister, let alone Pentecostal minister. And this was part of my experience as growing up. There was always a sense of oppression, sense of not being able to breathe and have open space. I was conscripted to a military. I had to go. And there I was interrogated for months because they tried to figure out what it is that I was after, whether I was undermining somehow the pillars of the great socialist state. This is who I am, in a sense, right? This is part of my story. But should I tell a story about myself as the one who was oppressed? If I tell that, wouldn't I be depressed? Should I tell a story of myself as one who was interrogated? Simply? Is there a larger story that I can tell of myself? I think most fundamentally, especially for those of us who have suffered a great deal, our identity often ends up wrapped up in our own suffering. We need a ray of light to come straight through that story and tell us something else about ourselves. Who are you? I think at the foundation of everything, of our lives, the answer to this question is this: I'm not what others have done to me. I'm not even what I have done to myself. I am how God relates to me. I am the beloved child of God, notwithstanding what has happened in my life. A friend of mine, when he talks about the dignity of us as human beings, he recalls the experience that many children have had of having a little teddy bear. And with that teddy bear, going to bed, going through playground with the teddy bear, going to do all sorts of other things, and pretty soon, after a while, that teddy bear gets all frayed. One eye is missing, one few buttons are missing, the arm on the side is kind of cracked open, things are falling out. You know, if you were to show that teddy bear in some kind of a contest for the most beautiful teddy bear in the world, maybe not last place, but next to the last, right? Not a particularly attractive teddy bear. You ask that child, which teddy bear would he want or she want? That teddy bear or some new teddy bear that you would want to buy to that child, even if that new teddy bear were to get all the prizes in the world for the best teddy bear in the world? The response would be very clear. I want my teddy bear. No matter what happens to us. Which buttons are missing? Where cracks have appeared? We are beloved by God. God loves us. And that gives us our sense of identity. That's what gave me a sense of courage, sense of strength, sense of, if you want, specialness, notwithstanding the experiences through which I have gone. You know, when you are loved, you're always new. When you love, everything is always fresh. And this is the life that God invites us to, being loved and loving. And then we are new. New identity. Behold, I make all things new. But you know, we don't need just new identity. We also need a new future. When you have suffered a lot, if you have been abused, if something terrible has happened to you, that tends to occupy all of your attention. That tells you, tends to nail you back to your past. You look back and then you think about the future as if this past is going to somehow come and pull the arm through the present into the future and be there right there for you. It's driving your car, but always driving only through the rear mirror, right? You see and fear in the future what you have experienced in the past. We need new future. I felt I needed a new future. I felt I needed to be freed from that past so that that past doesn't determine how it is that I'm going to live today, so that I don't have to fear behind every bush that another interrogator is going to pop up and oppress me. I needed a new future. How is it that future comes to us? And there are two theories about that. One theory says, well, future grows out of the past and the present. What you have sown, that's what you will reap. Causes produce their effects. That's one account of the future. The other account of the future is that future comes to us not from the past or the present. The future comes to us from God's eternity. Then future can be new. It comes to us from God's promise. The best story that I know in the New Testament about that comes from the Old Testament, but it's written in the New Testament. It's the story of Abraham and Sarah. You recall their story. They were trying to have an offspring of their own. And years of futile trying have not produced an offspring. Those stubborn bodies wouldn't do what bodies are supposed to do. And then at the old age of Abraham, God comes to him and says, next year, at this time, you will have a child. It's a promise. And Abraham believed. And because there was this divine promise, lo and behold, the law that said that past will determine the future was broken. And Abraham had a son. There was a child. There was Isaac. There was new hope. And there was new future. Promise of God spoken into our lives creates new future for us. Past doesn't need to oppress us. We can be freed for new possibilities. Behold, I make all things new. New identity. New future. I think what also we need is a new past. Now, some of you philosophically minded will scratch your heads and you will say, well, wait a second. You can't give me a new past. That doesn't work. I can have a new and better future. I can have a different present. But how can I have a different, a new past? You'd have to undo what was done for me to have a new past. You know what kids sometimes play? One insults the other, and the one who has been insulted says to him, take it back. And even if that child wants to take it back, sorry, you can't. You can try and do whatever you want, but you won't be able to take that back. You know, as I was being interrogated by my interrogator, often I would feel angry. I would be filled with hatred toward him. Often later, as I was thought about him, I would feel surge of ill feelings toward him. And sometimes when I'm really very kind to myself, I say, but that's normal, Miroslav. He has abused you, right? It's normal for you not to feel particularly warm toward him. At other times, when I open my Bible, when I read what the scripture says about loving one's enemies, about Christ dying for the ungodly, I think, Miroslav, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to act and feel differently You're not forgiving injury that somebody has done to you. You know, we need to be forgiven for not forgiving. Forgiveness is not at our pleasure and disposal, whether you're going to forgive or not. Some people say, what kind of right do you have to forgive? I say, what kind of right do you have not to forgive? You know why? Because Christ died on the cross for every individual being, for every sin that was ever committed. You have no right. I have no right not to forgive. It's difficult. And we forgive best, I think, when we think about what it is that God has done forgiving us. Then we are able to create a new past. This is what I was supposed to give also to my tormentor, a kind of a new past. So what does God do when God forgives? Many things are said in the Bible. One of them says, well, when God forgives, God doesn't reckon our sins to us. We've incurred debt, but God doesn't write anything in the debit column, right? Zero there. We owe, but we don't have to pay. Or it says God covers our sin. We have sinned, and it is plain to everyone that we have, and there comes God and covers it, and it cannot be seen anymore. Or God removes our sin, as we have read this morning from the Psalm 103. Removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. It sticks to us, that sin, right? And that's the problem with sin. It sticks to us and is glued to us, and we can't free ourselves from it. But God removes it. Or, I love this one. It says in the scripture that God puts sins behind God's back. Think about it a little bit. God takes our sins, puts it behind God's back. That means when God sees you, he can't see the sin because he can't see what's behind his back. Right? And the best of all, God doesn't remember our sins. We've committed them, but they're gone. Gone from reality because he has blotted them out, and gone from God's memory. New past. You see, your past now has been changed. Your past is new, just like your presence is new, and just like your future can be new. Behold, I make all things new. You know, when we long for these little gadgets, whether that's iPhone or something else, or something new that comes after that, and when after we long for them, we play with them for about a week or maybe two, and then they become obsolete, and we look for another thing after that, and we're going in a circle like a little squirrel in that wheel, tick, 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 right? Always new things, and the wheel is turning faster and faster. What is it that we're longing for? We're longing for new identity. We're longing for new future. We're longing for new past. You know what we're longing for? We're longing for the one who makes all things new. Behold, I make all things new. Amen.
Thank you, Miroslav Volf. What a blessing you are.
Thank you.
Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord give you peace, even when it's thundering and the lightning flashes. May the Lord be with you more than he's ever been with you in the past. And we're here to help make that connection between the Almighty and your soul connect powerfully. Have a good week. See you next Sunday. Goodbye.
Een prachtig thema. Zie, ik maak alle dingen nieuw. Een Bijbelse belofte. En als het hier op aarde niet nieuw wordt, dan straks. En dat is de hoop waar, als je gelooft, je naar mag uitstrekken. Je bent niet een product van toeval en tijd. Nu geboren om dood te gaan, dan dat is het. Nee, er is eeuwig leven. En dat is het perspectief waaruit je mag leven. En ik hoop dat u en jij dat ook doen. Wij nemen afscheid. Vind ik altijd weer jammer. Maar volgende week hopen we er weer te zijn. En dan met onder andere Reinier van den Berg. De weerman die altijd met zijn mooie stemgeluid vertelt over het weer. En hij heeft een paar opvallende ontdekkingen gedaan en vertelt daarover. Blijf vooral met ons in contact. Ik meld nog even dat ons kwartaal magazine uit is. En dat sturen we graag aan iedereen toe. Onze donateurs krijgen het automatisch een aantal keren per jaar. Maar het is echt een mooi blad met bemoedigende verhalen, met inspirerende toespraken, met mooie foto's over onze kerstconcerten. Kortom, de moeite waard om te lezen. En ik zou zeggen, kijk op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. En dan kun je hem zo bestellen. En we sturen hem graag zonder verplichting toe. Een hele goede zondag toegewenst. En graag tot volgende week.